The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among the disciples and said, "Peace be with you." And after Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to the disciples again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday. We think that Pentecost is a celebration of Christian origins. But really, like many things in the Christian world, we have borrowed this from our ancestors in the Jewish tradition. For they had celebrated Pentecost hundreds of years before the Christian church was ever formed. The word Pentecost begins with the root word penta, which in Latin means 5 or 50. This is a feast the Jews celebrate 50 days after Passover, a time in which they gather for a great feast, a time in which Christ gathered in Jerusalem for that Passover feast, instituted Holy Communion, was arrested, was tried, hung on the cross, and, thanks be to God, raised from the dead. The disciples, the apostles, as we hear in Acts, those 11 followers of Christ who are left, have gathered on this, the day of Pentecost, the first day of the week, Sunday for us. A lot of things happen on Sundays for Christians. That's why we come to church on Sundays. Christ was risen on Sunday. The Holy Spirit was given to the church on Sunday. We gather here today on a Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. Sunday is our new day of creation. Sunday is our day of forgiveness. Sunday is to be our day of growth. Sunday is to be our launching pad into the week to come. We gather on Sunday, the day of God's Son. The 11 apostles, as we hear in Acts, are gathered in an upper room. Maybe the same room they celebrated with Christ 50 days earlier, the institution of the Lord's Supper, their last meal with him, when he said that he would be executed, when he said that one amongst them would betray him, when he said that he would come again. Some have seen Christ. The two Marys that went to the tomb to anoint his body had a talk with Christ. Two men on the road to Emmaus had talked with Christ. But for many, it was just a story. It was just a rumor. Thomas had his doubts. Some of the other disciples had not seen him. They had heard the stories, the rumors. They knew the body was missing, but they had not seen him. The doubting Thomas says, "Unless I touch him, his hands, his side, I will not believe." We hear today that when Christ comes, he holds out his hands. He shows them his side. He says, "I live." And then what does Christ bring? When Christ comes into someone's life, Christ first brings peace. Christ's first words to these apostles, these disciples locked in the upper room. People who fear for their lives with a death sentence over their head. His first words are, "Peace be with you." Christ brings peace. Then Christ blows on them, says, "Receive thy spirit." Christ gives them power. And then lastly, Christ gives them purpose. Christ says, "Go out into the world." At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Christ gives them the Great Commission. "Go out into the world," Christ says, "baptize all nations, preach, teach, make my name known." And the disciples have the courage, the conviction, the power, and the faith to leave that upper room. They unlock the doors. They go out into the streets of Jerusalem, death sentence on their head, and they begin to preach the gospel. They tell the Medes, the Parthians, the Cappadocians, all who have gathered from foreign countries for this great feast in Jerusalem, this weekend-long party about Jesus Christ. Life is not easy for them. When they left the safety of that locked room, many of them, Philip, Stephen, Peter, Paul, are arrested for their beliefs, are arrested for their preaching, are tortured, are fed to lions, are hung on crosses upside down, are imprisoned, are in shipwreck, you name it. But they continue on because they have faith. They have a knowledge of a living Lord, and they have the gift of the Holy Spirit. All week, I've thought about this sermon. I've prayed about it. Even now, as I stand before you, I'm worried about it. But I'm tired. I meet with you in hospital rooms, across your kitchen table, in my office. I might get you alone in an aisle in the co-op. And I hear about your lives with children, spouses, your health, your jobs, and I pray for you, and you pray, and I know that God does things in your life. I know that God's active force, the Holy Spirit, has brought healing to your life, has brought wisdom to your life, has brought peace to your life, has brought understanding to your life, has brought forgiveness to your life. But I also know that like those disciples, those followers of Christ 2,000 years ago, we are locked in the upper rooms. We are scared to go into the world and tell people about those things of Christ. We are scared to tell people how Christ, the Holy Spirit, has healed us. We're scared to tell people how Christ, the Holy Spirit, has led us in a new direction. We're scared to tell people how Christ, the Holy Spirit, has restored a friendship, a marriage. Society has locked us in the upper rooms of our lives. We are scared. We are not scared about death and imprisonment, but rather we are scared about what people will think of us. We are scared what people will say to us. We, just like those apostles before us, are fearful. We have locked ourselves in a mental room. The tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. We know it to be true. But we do not leave the upper room. Even here, we come to this safe place. We talk about the weather, the Rough Riders, the news, elections, you name it. But even here, we're scared to unlock the doors of our souls and let our faith out. It is a great irony, a great contradiction in terms, that we come together as a church and we celebrate all these trailblazers, the Marys and the Peters and the Pauls and the James, the Abrahams and Moseses and Elijahs of faith that went against the grain, that follow God, even unto their peril. But we are scared to tell the good things about God in our lives. We are fearful. We know it to be true. I feel it in my own life. It's best just to leave our souls locked up. Let us not open ourselves up to any kind of ridicule, any kind of scorn, any kind of ill thought. Let's not rock the boat. But we're called to rock the boat. We're called to leave the upper room. We're called to unlock the door. We, like the apostles before us, this story we celebrate, a story that a billion Christians around the world will gather today to give honor to, is just as true for us. The things that Christ gave them are available to us. Let us not have a faith and a life that simply looks over our shoulder. The Abrahams, the Moses, the Sarahs, the Marys, the Johns, the Peters, you name it. Those are not just people of history. We are called to be those people today. God has called all of us. From St. Paul we hear, we are all called today. And we are called with different gifts. The gifts of wisdom, administration, of prophecy, of preaching, of teaching, of caring for the poor, the sick, the infirmed. All of us are called. Not just Moses, not just Elijah, not just Paul or Peter or Timothy. All of us share in the same call. We share in the same Spirit, and we share in the same living Lord. But who do we celebrate? We celebrate the ones who unlocked the door. We celebrate the ones who went into the world. We celebrate the doers, the faith takers, those who follow God against the grain. And our calling is no different. Our calling is the same. To honestly listen for the Word of God and to make God known in the world. To preach, to teach, to baptize. This great gift of the Holy Spirit isn't some event 2,000 years ago. This is the Spirit given to us in our baptism. This is the Spirit confirmed to us in forgiveness. This is God's Spirit active in our lives. Which brings me to why I'm afraid today. I'm going to do something today. Something I have never done before. I am going to step out in faith, I pray, with you. As I've been praying about this sermon, as I've been praying about Pentecost, praying about the Spirit in our lives, God made something very sure for me. I don't talk this way often. You don't hear me up here every Sunday talking about God put something on my heart, that I have a word from the Lord. So hopefully when I say this, you give it just a little bit of credence. We are going to talk about God. When the devil tempts Christ, Christ asks the devil, do not put the Lord your God to the test. We are not going to put the Lord God to the test. But what we are going to do is give God an opportunity through us to make Himself known. Because I know God's already at work in your lives. Because I talk to you. You may talk to no one else. But I know how God is at work in your families, in your health, in your workplaces, amongst your neighbors, and in your life. But I want to see if we can unlock the door. If we have the conviction, if we have the power, if we have the ability to put our pride behind us and put God in front of us to talk about it. I'm going to finish shortly. We are going to sing our hymn of the day. I'm going to stand back up here. Together we are going to pray. And next Sunday we are going to come here. I'll make a few words. And I will invite you up as you feel inspired, as you feel called, as you feel empowered to tell what God did in your life this week. How was the Holy Spirit active? Maybe no one will come, which would be a very sad commentary about where we put our pride in front of God. But I know that God is active in your lives. I know if given the opportunity, God wants people to know about His love and His energy and His forgiveness and His wisdom at work in us. This is what it's all about. And I am awfully scared. But you know why I'm scared? I'm not scared that God's not going to do anything. I'm not scared that God's not going to give someone wisdom. I'm not scared that God's not going to help someone get healing. I'm not scared that God's going to help mend a relationship. I'm not scared about that at all. I know God's going to do all these things. I am scared that you are going to be too scared to talk about it. And what does that say about us? I'm not sure. But that's where we are today. We are in the upper room. Our doors are open. The windows aren't sealed. but we have locked ourselves in a room. In a polite place we call the church, maybe. Then we've locked ourselves behind facades of politeness and practicality. Whatever it may be, we have locked ourselves away. And we are going to pray that God helps us to break those locks open. If you, for whatever reason, cannot overcome the fear of talking about God, email me. I'll read your story. I'll keep your name confidential. But if you are willing to join with me this week, to pray in earnest, to look for how God is alive in your family, in the world, in your workplace, amongst your children, your neighbors, you name it. Look for how God is at work. Look for how the Holy Spirit is making an active difference in your life. I will invite you to tell that story, as short or as long as it may be. And we will give thanks. Because the biggest mistake that we can make is to just look over our shoulders 2,000 years ago and say, wow, pretty neat things God did. You know, parting the Red Sea, showing up in a pillar of cloud and fire, breaking loose from the tomb, sending the Holy Spirit. Wow! This isn't the church, it's a history channel. I'm just a professor of history. I can tell you about things thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago. But I want to talk about things today, about a living God, an active God, a powerful God, and a God that makes a difference. Your God makes a difference. Your God lives. And the same gift that God brought that early church 2,000 years ago, peace, power, and purpose, is for us. So let me be clear. We will pray. I will ask you to pray however you do all week. We will gather in 7 days' time like those before us on the first day of the week, and we will come and we will talk about how the Holy Spirit is active in your life. I'm scared. But not because I doubt God, because I doubt us. Amen.